Welcome to the Miracle Camp podcast, and thanks for checking out this recording from summer camp. Please enjoy listening to our speaker from this week.
Anything they hear. So now you just go to the next part and say, some people don't believe that, but the record states that he was buried in the tomb. And pause, who was the first president of the United States? Yeah, how do you know that? More written evidence that Jesus Christ lived, died, and rose again than George Washington ever lived. Just stop and think about that for a moment. Like, we believe all kinds of stuff that we have very little information on, right? I ask you who the first president is, you never met him. You don't know who he is. You just tell me who he is because you read it somewhere, right? So, look, it's not that crazy to think that not only is there a written record, but eyewitness testimony that Jesus Christ lived, died, rose again, and is coming again. This is crazy. So, some people don't believe it, but the record states he was buried in a tomb, and on the third day, he did what? He rose again. One time I was in a Pizza Hut. It was during a snowstorm. Had my cube sitting on the table. The waiter comes over and says, what's that? I said, bro, listen, I'm really tired. I just spoke to a whole bunch of people. If you want to know what that is, it was a quiet day in the restaurant, very few people in there. I said, tell you what, you go get every server in this restaurant, bring them to my table. That way I don't have to show you 12 times. You go get everybody, I'll show you what this is. So he goes and he gets everybody in the restaurant, brings them all back. All the waiters and waitresses are at my table. Now I go like this, okay, this record states, I get to the part where it says he was buried in the tomb. And I said, and on the third day, and some young lady in the back says, on the third day he rose again. So they all turn around like, dude, you got one of these cubes too? People don't know. Like, we've been blessed. Many of us have grown up in the church. These things that we're hearing, you could teach here as good as Andy and I, because you've grown up in the church. You've heard these things. But even the attitude that would say in my heart, it's not the pastor's job to tell everybody about Jesus. It's all of our jobs to tell people what they don't know, to tell them. Now, so here's the thing. He was buried in the tomb, and the third day he rose again. Because he was able to do that, he becomes the only way to get to heaven. That is what Colossians has been saying, the supremacy of Christ. It's only Christ. That's it. Nothing else, just Christ. And then, if I accept Jesus, I've got a friend in God, home in heaven, and escape the judgment to come. So the first time somebody showed me this cube, I was actually so enamored with it that I kept buying them. I don't know, we bought hundreds of these cubes. I just kept buying them because they were so cool. And what would happen is when I started to show people this story that actually this isn't the story. This is a piece of wood with pictures on it. The story is Christ's story. It's in the Word of God. When I start telling people the story, and I would meet a Christian in the process, they would say, what? That's crazy. Give me that thing. And they take my cube. So I kept losing these cubes as I was telling the story because guess what? We ought to know how we ought to speak. This young lady, her name is Whitney. Pause. Sometimes in the ought to speak, God gives you something that's going to help you tell his story. So I know that you haven't thought a lot about it, but it might be that you are double jointed, or you can play the harmonica, or, I had a friend that he was a juggler, and he figured that he made friends with another juggler, and they could juggle anything. Those guys used to get on each other's shoulders and juggle two-story. It's amazing the things that God might give you, and you haven't thought about how can that thing be used for the glory of God. So sometimes it's your story. This young lady's name is Whitney. One day she was in a van, and a terrible accident happened, and all the young people in the van, except for Whitney, died. However, because she looked like the person sitting next to her, when the ambulance came, they got confused and they thought that Whitney had died and that somebody else had lived. And so between the bandages and everything, for weeks and weeks and weeks, her parents thought that she was dead. They actually had a funeral for her. And the other parents of the person that they thought had lived were sitting by her bedside. And eventually, as they began to take off the bandages and talk and try to figure things out, they realized that actually it was a mistaken identity moment. That actually Whitney had lived and her friend had died. In the middle of all of that, God begins to weave a story of grace. And now, some years later, here's Whitney. She's alive, she's well, she has children, she got married, and she shows up to retell her story. But her story isn't about, I was in an accident and I got mistaken identity. And her story is about how God is good, even in complicated moments. So what's your story? You know, what's the thing that's happening in your world, in your life, that you never thought of as something that might connect to God's story, that actually could be something that will open a door? Maybe it's going to be as simple as just putting a cube on your table and then waiting for someone to come and talk to you. Maybe it's something else. I rode motorcycle. I've had so many motorcycles. Love riding motorcycle. So one day we said, you know, in church, there are all these old Bibles that nobody uses anymore, right? What do you do with things? What do you do with an old Bible? You can't throw it away, right? So we went and we collected all the old Bibles, and I got all my motorcycle friends together. I said, guys, let's take our motorcycles out and do hit and run. Like, what? I'm like, okay, load your bikes up with Bibles. Then we go out on the road and we just park somewhere in a park and watch what happens. Because they had cool looking bikes. So their bikes with lights on it and all kinds of stuff. People are coming over. What's going on? What are you guys doing? I said, hey, we got something. You interested? What you got, man? Bibles. We decided that maybe we should even, you know, as this thing evolved, we started going to some harder places. And so eventually, we had to tell people, we had to come up with a rule. We said, hey, when we go to these places that are really hard, how are we going to do this? We said, okay, only one person can get off their bike first. And if situation goes bad, there's nothing faster than a bike on the road. The rest of you have to ride away and go get help. So some guys are like, dude, you're crazy. We cannot go out with you like that. We're not going to leave you on the side of the road. I'm like, listen, if I take my helmet off, then it's okay. But if I don't, you just got to ride away and go get help. So we're out there one day. We pull up. Some guys come up to us, a really hard-looking group of guys. And one of them says, what are you guys doing? I said, hey, we got something. What do you got? Bible. No, man, I don't want no Bible. They're talking away. And I'm looking at the other guy saying, start your engines, man. Like, get out of here. Go get help. And all of a sudden, one of the guys in the back of the group comes forward and says, no, man, I'll take it. I'd like a Bible, please. I just want to encourage you. Like, how ought you to speak? What's the story that God's given you? Maybe you're a motorcycle rider. Maybe you're great at basketball. Maybe you have some other skill and talent. What if you use that for the glory of God? And then that you make a point to always be speaking for Christ. My dad's next door neighbor, his name was Carlos. And the thing about Carlos was, my dad was just ornery. So here's my dad. He's living alone. He's old and he's tough. And so I'm watching Carlos moving next door and I'm like, wow, how's my dad going to treat this neighbor? But here's what Carlos decided, that he was going to love my dad no matter what. Can I just encourage you, when you go home, if you want to be able to talk about what happened to you, if you want to be able to speak about what God has done, if you want to be able to share the truth of what God's done for you, start by taking out the trash, right? Like, do the things that your parents would love you to do. Some of us have parents, and my dad did not come to Christ until he was 84 years old. So most of my life with my dad was him and me coming to places like this, loving Jesus, and then trying to go home and not knowing what to say to him. But the beginning of talking to my dad was really loving him in other ways. So I would call my dad and he would say, you're not going to believe this. Carlos helped cut my grass today. And then the next week, you're not going to believe this. Carlos helped put a sprinkling system into my yard. You're not going to believe this. Carlos is outside right now with his friends putting siding on my house. One day I asked Carlos, bro, what's up? I mean, we were joking. We were like, dad's got another son. He's got this son named Carlos. Like, Carlos, what's up? And this is what Carlos said. He said, my dad died when I was 12 years old. He says, so I figured I could just love somebody else. Easy. What would happen if you just went home a different person? You got to talk about it. But you got to live it. Hey, if you go home and say, I had a great time and I met the Lord and the great things happened, and then you beat up your brother, that's not okay. You got to figure this thing out. Living is important as speaking. We need to do both. So, some things to remember. First of all, prayer is God's idea. So talking to God is not like your idea. It's his idea that we would be people that would communicate with him. And prayer is more than talking, and it's more than asking. Sometimes, I don't know, I would get intimidated when I would be in a room of people and everyone's praying and somebody is praying like really long. I was like, man, I wish I had that much stuff to say to God. I don't have anything to say. So prayer is way more than just talking, and it's way more than just asking things of God. If we just sat and listened, if we just said, Lord, I just want to hear from you. Let's try it right now. We're just going to get quiet with only one thought. We actually want to pray, but don't rush your prayer. Have you ever been in a room with someone who talks too much? You go to say something, finally you just stand there and wait. I wonder if that's how God feels when he's with us, because we got our big Christmas list of things we need to talk to him about, and he's wanting to talk to us about some things. Let's just take a moment. When you were little, we would say, bow your head and close your eyes. We would tell you that because you're going to hit the person next to you during the prayer time. First time I hiked a mountain, we got to the top, and I got ready to pray, the person next to me said, dude, you don't have to close your eyes. There's nothing up here to distract you. I'm like, wow. Family, there is nothing in this room to distract you. You're just in the presence of God. So let's take a moment, just a moment, to pray to him. But listen before you speak to him. God, we want to hear from you. Help us today, throughout the day, as we have lots of cool things happen, Lord, help us to listen well to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, later, tell somebody about something that God talked to you about in that 38 seconds of pause. That's 38 seconds. What would happen if we just took like a whole minute to talk to God? What might we hear from him? Also, speak with words and with your life. Speak with words and with your life. You know, later today, one of my favorite games is carpet ball, and I've never been beat. Max, unfortunately, is going to get beat today. And, you know, I told him that I'm going to beat him, but I didn't really tell him the truth, which is I'm going to use all the skills, talents, and ability that God has given me as an old man, three times his age, to beat him. And then in the joy of this moment, I'm going to remind him that because I know he's a believer in Christ, in eternity, in the future, 1,000 years from now, I'll be reminding him how I beat him at carpet ball the first time we played. Live well with your life. For some of you, you've been ashamed of the fact that you're the best basketball player on your street or in your town or on your team. Use that in a beautiful way to create a moment to be able to live well for Christ. What's a great basketball player who is also spoken well? Like, that's just such a great thing when you actually have a life that you can live that speaks as loud as your skill. Learn the word. I so appreciate the fact that last night we were in the Bible, just reading the text. Learn the word and also love the word. Like, learn to love God's word because he wrote it. Like, he put the book together, and then share the word. The thing that inspired my heart was that one day God said, hey, you know what? You can make the Bible plain to people. you could explain it to him, just make it plain. I was like, oh man, I love that idea. Learn the word, love the word, and share the word. And as you're doing that, a couple of things. Number one, be honest. We have talked about some pretty deep topics over the last couple of days. Be honest. Be honest with yourself. Be honest in your conversations with God. It's very uncomfortable when you talk to somebody who's not being honest with you. Like somebody says, how are you doing? You're doing terrible. You say, I'm doing fine. You don't realize everything on your face, your body language, everything says you're not doing fine. You told them you were. They know the difference. It's an uncomfortable moment. You and I need to live honestly. And also, please, please, please live courageously. Live courageously. Maybe this is the moment that God's given you that you didn't have any clue that you could be courageous in. And also, be curious, because you get a chance to ask questions and be surprised in the process. And finally, watch for the God opportunities. These are two brothers. One of them is named Ben, the other Austin. When they were in the womb, they're twins. When they were in the womb, the doctor said one of the boys, his amniotics, the sac that he was in, broke. And so they went to the family and said, you're going to need to make a decision. If you want to save the other boy, you'll have to abort this boy because he's not going to make it. His fluid is literally leaking out. And they're too small. There's no way to patch it. The doctor was an atheist. He didn't believe in God and appreciated the fact that they prayed and even acknowledged the fact that, you know, when people pray, it makes them feel better, and so therefore it probably does something. Well, as they're watching the ultrasound one morning, the other boy takes his body, rolls over, and seals the hole up where the fluid is leaking and stays in that position for the rest of the pregnancy. They were both born. Nothing happened to them. They went and played football and baseball, and now they're both practicing to be doctors. Oh, the doctor that they had, when he saw how God worked in their lives before they were born, he accepted Christ, and now they all go to church together. One last thought as we get ready to go. As I said, that's you and that's God. You are separated by sin. He did die on the cross and pay the price for that sin. People don't believe it. He was buried in the tomb. On the third day, he rose again. Because he was able to do that, he is the only path to get to heaven. And when you accept Jesus, you have a home in heaven, friend with God, and you escape the judgment to come. But also, if you ask Jesus into your heart, then four things should become evident in your life. Prayer, Bible study, fellowship, and sharing this same story with the world. God bless you. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening to this chapel session and for diving into scripture with us. We hope you've been encouraged in your walk with Jesus, and we hope to see you here at camp for next year's summer camp. So thanks again, and have a great rest of your day.